What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with hogsports.com, HAWGsports.com. Well, it's roster building time, recruiting time in the three major sports. Obviously, baseball in the transfer portal stage right now. That's going on for a couple more weeks. As far as entering the transfer portal, you can still pull players after that June 30th deadline. Razorback recruiting for football is pretty heavy right now with visitors coming in, a lot of commitments, and Arkansas basketball trying to put the finishing touches on the 2026-27 roster. And as you know, looking ahead to future years as well. We're going to be joined by Danny West to talk about all that. We'll answer your questions as well, and we'll talk a little bit about the upcoming football season and maybe future seasons also. All that more on today's episode of Hog Sports Live. The Crane Automotive team knows stretching your dollar is important. With prices at the pump, interest rates, and everything else, we focus on making your life more affordable by offering vehicles with the highest rated fuel economy and safety features, plus a large selection of crossover and hybrid vehicles. We make it easy to get on the road with a vehicle that won't break the bank. We have a vehicle for every lifestyle and every budget. Come get one at one of our 17 statewide locations or visit craneteam.com today. Hog Sports Live is driven by the Crane Automotive team.
You've done it. Now you're the Crane Cash Champ. You just won big with the Crane team. Go ahead, soak it up. How could you not feel like a winner? You dominated with our low price guarantee, and you got way more for your trade. Plus, with statewide delivery on thousands of vehicles from 16 locations, and the fact that we'll beat any other dealer's price, we make our Kansans feel like champions every day. That's winning. That's the Crane team. Visit craneteam.com.
All right, so there's 4,937 vehicles at Crane right now at the 17 dealerships across the state. So a lot of options. U.S. Open going on right now. Early, Ludvig Åberg is leading at -2. Sam Burns, Patrick Reed also at 1 under. But it's obviously very early. Keegan Bradley's even. Rory McIlroy is even. Through 9, so pretty early right now for round one of the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills. Tough course up in New York, right? Yeah. Also, the Chicotee is the oldest golf tournament in the state of Arkansas at Springdale Country Club. That one's going on right now. I've played in that a few times, obviously not playing now. Wondering if you got in on that SpaceX IPO. It jumped all the way up. It like jumped 65% from an IPO at 135. I know, you know, this is a sports show, but it's a pretty interesting deal. I thought it jumped up so fast up to 222. Now back all the way down to 176. Again, it opened at 135. That kind of stuff interests me. All right. Ilya Frolov is visiting Arkansas. So that's the Russian 6'11", 225-pound senior, you know, a guy that can play the four or the five, really. But he's – oh, he turned 18 today. Today's his birthday. So he just turned 18. But he's been playing, you know, that kind of semi-pro deal with Real Madrid and Liga U, the under-22 junior league in Spain. Averaged 13.5 points, 7.4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1.1 steal per game, shooting 36% from three-point range, 52.8% from the floor, and 84.6 from the foul line, which I like to see that in a big man. I mean, they need somebody that can just be a presence down low. Like, this guy looks like maybe he could be a little bit more than that, but, you know, not old. I mean, he was 17. He's been 17 doing all this, so yeah, it's kind of comparable to like the G League a little bit in the NBA. You earn experience, you know. So anyway, it looks like that may be what's going to kind of transpire for Arkansas. And if this guy can be a, you know, quality starter type player with what they have everywhere else, I mean, this team could be really, really good. So that's where things are. Obviously, they're, you know, recruiting for the future. We talked about, you know, some of the guys that they're maybe looking to even reclassify. They also just offered Liam Mitikaro, who is a 2028 composite five-star guard. Let's see, 6'4", 175. out of Bella Vista Prep in Scottsdale, Arizona. He's got, obviously, you know, a lot of big hitters, Kansas, Ohio State, so on and so forth. But anytime that John Calipari throws his hat in the ring for a guard at a high school, you feel like there's definitely a really good chance. Obviously, baseball's been picking up. Now, this has been a pretty interesting topic for us because, you know, one of the things that I reported last fall was during those meetings that they were having, you know, Hunter Yurchek was having prior to football games with several big boosters. Some of the meetings that they were having and the things they were discussing was about Dave Van Horn in baseball and how he had to be supported and probably, you know, really didn't have the support he needed at the time. And a lot of that is because revenue sharing, you know, the money that they were allocating for revenue sharing, you know, DVH is expecting about $1.5 million, ends up getting about $750,000. You got teams like Mississippi State at like $2.2 to $2.5, Texas at $2.5. Like they're allocating a lot of that revenue sharing to baseball. So Arkansas had to make up for it with NIL. And that was something that they really talked about. What I was reporting at the time was like everybody was in agreement that DVH needed to be supported. You know, they didn't want him to leave. You know, the guy signed with Jimmy Sexton, right? So that was a little scary. But from the looks of it right now, it looks like they have answered the call and that he does have the NIL. I don't think that he had it last year. I think that's one of the reasons that Arkansas baseball wasn't as good as it's been in recent years. But based on the way things are going right now, I mean – some services have Arkansas ranked number two nationally, and maybe they're higher now, or number one in the SEC, you know. So things appear to be going pretty good. It was a little bit of a slow start, which, you know, we're looking at that and wondering, okay, did Arkansas's big money boosters step up? And it looks like, as of now, they have. There's still more work to do. Recent addition, let's see, this would have been the 13th. So going all the way back to the 13th, as far as recent additions, Braden Krenzel, right-handed pitcher out of Tennessee, 6'3", 214 pounds, allowed 17 hits, 9 runs, 18 earned runs, and 4 homers on the year from Dublin, Ohio. Where's my spot? Okay. Another recent addition, A.J. Avesco out of Kansas State, played, let's see, did he play right for them? Finished with a 348 average, 22 extra base hits. Yeah, played right field. Was a freshman All-American after the 2025 season. They got Willis McGinnis out of Georgia State. His younger brother is committed to the Razorbacks for 2027 also. But he was all Sun Belt first team his sophomore season. Saw 56 games, hit 306 with 8 home runs, 42 RBIs, 13 doubles. Walked 31 times, striking out 36 times. Let's see. McGinnis. Luke Niswonger from Central Michigan announced that he would be joining. This is, okay, now we're on June 16th on the timeline as far as new addition. 6'2", right-handed. Can run it up to 95, 96 miles an hour. Deep arsenal of pitches. Next, moving ahead to just about 15 hours ago, they got California Baptist right-handed pitcher Michael Malki. He's the reigning WAC pitcher of the year. This was last night when this news came out around supper time. He was their ace, went 11-0, 3.12 ERA in 75 innings as a sophomore, had 111 punch outs, 37 walks, and recruited by a lot of the Power Four schools. This appears to be a really nice pickup. Pitched in the Cape Cod League last summer also. Looks sharp. Okay, and okay, going a little bit farther back, so my timeline's a little bit off. Going a little bit farther back, they got Ben Clary out of Santa Clara. Let's see. Probable starting shortstop here. Where's his numbers? Hit 358 this season, 7 homers, 63 RBI, has 65 strikeouts and 532 at-bats for his career, and has more walks than he has strikeouts, has 70 walks. Okay, so right now, Arkansas, as far as newcomers on the roster, they have 3 junior college additions, 9 transfer additions, and 11 freshmen coming in. So that's where things stand. Still some more work to do, obviously, but things are moving along nicely. It's encouraging because there was some concern, I think, on my part and a lot of people. Like, you know, last year, I don't think the portal went as well as everybody would have hoped. And this year, you know, we're kind of waiting to see. You know, there's a junior college additions, like, you know, who's this guy from, you know, small school, whatever. And then, you know, things start picking up a lot. So that is very encouraging because we know that, you know, there's a big push for NIL, but it's a lot of it's shifting, you know, towards football because football has to be successful. Like that Hunter Yurecek knows that. Like, you don't get to hire more than 2 coaches as an athletic director in football. And so to have success in football, and that's, you know, another thing with football, like the NIL money isn't where like Texas is. Like Texas just gets a ton of NIL, so they can afford to allocate $2.5 million to baseball, you know, and still have NIL money too. So Arkansas has to get most of their baseball money through NIL. And it does appear that people have stepped up in that regard. So that's good. Hey, Blakeman's Fine Jewelry is proud to be the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Ben Blakeman and his team had an exciting year in their new flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers and are continuing their signature hospitality and service in 2026. Visit them. They'll offer to clean your jewelry, offer you a coffee beverage from Cafe B, or a glass of their own Blakeman's Prosecco, which, by the way, is available in various stores in Northwest Arkansas. If you can't make it, did you also know that you can shop them online at blakemansfinejewelry.com? Built on tradition since 1987, Blakeman's has been Northwest Arkansas's trusted destination for exceptional jewelry and personalized service. You got to go check them out if you haven't done so, just to get a look at the store. Try out their Blakeman's Prosecco also. See if you like it. See if you want to buy some. Okay, Ron Roberts. So this has been a discussion that we've had. We actually had a post, you know, we'll get obviously a lot of message board posts and questions directed at me on the Razor's Edge. And, you know, sometimes I'll look at it and I'm like, man, this probably should be an article because I'm writing so much. And that's kind of where this article came out about Ron Roberts. And the question is, can the Arkansas defense awaken under Ron Roberts? Last year probably was a combination of bad coaching, but also bad players and a lack of depth. Lack of depth on the defensive line. Lack of talent in the secondary, you know, and some disappointing play overall at linebacker. And some of that's, you know, Xavien Sory was injured, and then they had to shift things around. They move him basically to the jack position and all that stuff. So looking back at Ron Roberts' history, when you look at, let's go back to Baylor. Well, first of all, like, we know the reputation, like, kind of got to start at Delta State. You know, Coach Pete Golding, Coach Dave Aranda, you know, has an interesting coaching tree, credited with creating that tight front defense, creeper philosophies, which is basically a replacement player. Like you drop a defensive lineman back into coverage, you blitz a linebacker, you're bringing 4 players, but they're coming from different spots and you don't know where they're coming from. So you're still creating havoc. A lot of coaches out there, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, openly say, you know, yeah, we copied a lot of stuff that Ron Roberts invented. And a lot of that stuff was to stop RPO, zone, you know, spread offenses and stuff. It doesn't necessarily work as well against power, which more teams have kind of gone to that here in recent years. So there's also a versatility aspect. They'll only be in that like tight look 25% of the time. You know, it's going to be a versatile defense. You know, sometimes that jack will be asked to put his hand in the dirt, you know. So they'll have different looks, obviously. But when you look at Baylor, I thought this was interesting. In 2021, when he was there, Baylor was 2nd in the Big 12 in scoring defense and 4th in total defense, 18.3 points, 344.9 yards per game. They were 4th and 3rd in those categories in 2022, and he was fired. 4th and 3rd in the Big 12 in those categories, and he was fired. I mean, they won 12 games in 21. They won 6 in 2022. And I don't know if he was the scapegoat guy or whatever, but the next year after he was gone, Baylor dropped. They went 3-9, and they were 14th out of 14 teams in the Big 12 in yards allowed and had the third worst total defense after he left. What happened after you leave? You know, that kind of stuff stands out to me. So he almost takes the Arkansas job. Okay. He almost takes the Arkansas job, but Auburn comes open, ends up taking Auburn. He was on campus. He was at Arkansas on campus, like ready to take it, and ends up taking the Auburn job. So at Auburn, let's see. Where's my numbers? Okay. At Auburn, the year he was there, Tigers allowed 357 yards a game, 22.6 yards per game. Both those numbers are not outrageous, but they're both pretty good. They're both pretty good numbers. But Auburn's offense only averaged 351.2 yards per game, which was 10th in the SEC, and only 26.2 points a game, 11th in the SEC. They had no support. If you look at Houston Nutt used to always say that if you can hold them to 27 points, we're going to win the game. At Arkansas in 10 years, when Arkansas's defense did that, Arkansas was like 69-15 in games when they did that. So 76% of the time or so, Houston Nutt was right in that statement. Auburn probably should have won 9 games if they had a competent offense, you know, given what they were limiting teams to. But they weren't. They were bad. They did roll up Arkansas pretty good that year. So after that, he left Auburn for the Florida job. So Florida made improvement from the year he wasn't there to the year next year. They made improvement. It wasn't dramatic improvement, but they made improvement. They also finished really strong. In the final 4 games, they beat LSU 27-16, beat Ole Miss 24-17, beat Florida State 31-11, and whipped Tulane 33-8. Pretty solid finish there. They gave up an average of 13 points per game in those final 4 contests. So you saw a lot of improvement. The next year, they come out and start really strong on defense, but the offense is completely inept, and Napier's fired week 8. But the offense, or the defense, was really strong. And then, you know, there's some letting go of the rope stuff. It wasn't a disaster, but there's some let go of the rope after that. So in that regard, like, to me, that makes me feel like, okay, maybe they got a shot to be good on defense. I do think the personnel is way better on defense. I've talked about the defensive line and all that stuff. And that kind of brings me to some, I have another topic that I want to discuss. But I do want to get to Danny. I want to talk about, like, the future. And I'm going to talk about this after we get with Danny. But I want to talk about the future of Arkansas past 2026 and how this roster could look like. Because adding 40-something players in the transfer portal every single year is not ideal. It's what Arkansas had to do this year. But, like, can we get that number down? Can we get some more continuity with the team? And they recruited a lot of guys who are a bit younger. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But first I want to bring on Danny West on the Ozarks Go hotline. Danny has been – he hadn't been feeling too good. I mean, he's been sick for like 2 weeks, but he won't go to the damn doctor, Danny. Why won't you go to the doctor, son?
Hey, buddy. I don't trust him. That's where the sickness came from, most likely.
Right. Danny's that guy. So, Danny.
Dude, I've gotten that way. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, Danny, it's been a busy time for recruiting. I mean, you've had a lot of visitors coming in. They're racked up a good number of commitments. What's the latest? What's coming up this weekend, and what's the latest that's happened?
Spit my cough drop out there. Sorry about that. Unprofessional. Yeah, it's man, they've had a little bit of a down week here, Biddy. Been a pretty tough one for them. And I'm trying to get my list pulled up here. I hope I still got you. All right. So obviously, about a week ago, Biddy, a week ago today, actually, they missed on Lawrence Britt, 4-star receiver that really would have helped their cause. Of course, we've talked about Colton Nussmeier going to Georgia. That's another one that really could have helped their ranking and overall mood, like the vibe of it all, right? Interest and all that. Caleb Seiler went to Northwestern. I'm just rattling these off, Biddy, to kind of give you an idea. I mentioned Missouri getting Lawrence Britt. Emerson Lewis, he went to Maryland, as did Jaden Agbordiola. Hope that's right. Doesn't matter now, I guess. Well, I'll probably never see him again. But yeah, so Kansas State got one. Ashton Stark kid, the receiver from Louisiana. I'm gonna call it fair and say I'm not sure Arkansas was really pushing that one super hard lately anyway. But they have. They missed on a Marcellus Young, Casario. Kid went to Georgia, man. He's from Raven Gap. Am I saying that one right, Biddy?
Raven Gap. I'm not Georgia. Familiar with that one.
I'm asking my local Georgia guy. But anyway, he was set up to be as a part of this weekend's visit list, and he committed to Georgia. Unsurprisingly, got to get over some of these guys. Like some of them, it's okay to even be like, hey, at least Arkansas found one early that Georgia wanted later, you know. So if there's a silver lining, no pun intended, it would be that at least they're in the mix for some of these guys somewhat early when it takes some of the bigger programs a little bit longer to get involved and ultimately swipe them from you. But, hey, at least they got a pretty good eye for talent, and they're in the mix at least for some of these guys when really, Biddy, they ain't much to help them out. You know, they don't have a whole lot of money. You talked about the portal class, 40-some, you know, transfers. That's where most of your money went. Yeah. And we got to remember that. And we've got to understand what Arkansas staff understands, in my opinion, which is it's very much a prove-it phase. You got to win with what you got before this high school recruiting measure gets any better, yeah, in my opinion. I could be wrong in that. Maybe somebody just writes a check out of the blue and sends them on their way, but
well, you don't want to get caught in a loop like Pittman was. Pittman, yeah, got caught in a loop because he had to win now, and he ends up going after guy and too many guys that were like seniors and stuff. I do think that this is the right strategy, especially early on. You have to spend so much money on guys that are ready to play. I mean, they've had like 65 new guys on this roster, 67 or something like that, new players on this roster who are on scholarship. That's a ton of turnover. Pittman was doing that like every year anyway, just because they were recruiting older transfer players and had no choice but to turn the thing over. Plus, they were getting guys robbed from them. I don't think that they lost that much this year in terms of you know, keeping the guys that they wanted to keep. I thought they did a pretty good job overall of doing that. And in the past, they've just kind of gotten raided. But you know, with this recruiting class, I think. And tell me if you agree with me, Danny. I think the strategy is, you know, getting some guys at some certain positions, you know, who you can develop, who aren't going to cost you $250,000 to bring in and sit the bench for a while. Bring in some guys at certain places, you know, that can come in and contribute early, like a running back or wide receiver or cornerback. But otherwise, focus on developmental players and hit the transfer portal and fill in the gaps with some seniors here and there. But also, I like a guy that's going to be a redshirt sophomore.
Man, yeah. You know? It's a dying breed, ain't it?
Yeah.
At the same school anyway.
Yeah.
Man, I'm with you on that. I miss seeing groups stay together. Man, you think about back in the
But if you can get a redshirt sophomore, Danny, like that's a guy that's going to be in your program at least for a few years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And maybe we're living in the past a little bit when I think back on this, but man, you're early 2000s, some of Coach Nutt's best teams, it was all redshirt junior, redshirt senior, yeah, and most of that was found where? On the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And that's what you got to get back to, man. I was looking at this, and I want to mention to you, at 3 o'clock today, we're going to find out on a 4-star offensive tackle from Overland Park, Kansas, Blue Valley North. Offensive tackle Elijah Shaw, 6'8", 285. He says 6'9", 285.
Plenty big
either way, Biddy, but we'll find out at 3 on him. Arkansas has been involved. Number 2 player in Kansas, Wisconsin. Mateo's been up there for him. Ole Miss been involved. Boston College still in the mix. And he had one more finalist that he threw in there. I apologize. Don't have it right here. But we'll see how that one goes. But my point was, if they can get Elijah today, they'll get 2 4-star offensive linemen for the first time since 2023 in the same high school class. And the time before that, the last time that it had happened was 2015. And both of those were Pittman, you know, obviously Pittman in 15 as the position coach. Man, that's few and far between. But my point is, Biddy, man, you got to start stockpiling some of those dudes. Because that's the difference that, you know, Mississippi State there for a while, we don't often think of them like that, but man, they had program guys on the O-line like Arkansas used to under Markeson. They were just, they'd keep them in there for 3, 4, 5 years and just marinate them, you know?
Yeah. So what's you the price tag on this kid though, Danny?
What's that now?
What's the price tag on that kid?
Oh man, I don't know.
250? It's 50.
Man, I wouldn't even be
more.
I would lean more, but I wouldn't even guess now, because for Arkansas, Arkansas's price may be a lot different than other schools, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just nowadays it's a matter of what's real. And that's the hard part.
Danny, like this kid's, say he's $300,000. How long before he hits the field?
It'd be a couple years, in my opinion, at least.
So if you're Arkansas, is that a good use of your money? I understand, like, you want to bring guys in and develop into your program and stuff, but, I mean, you're not even guaranteed that this guy won't leave or something, you know?
No doubt.
Before he ever hits the field. And I don't know anything about the kid. You know, I'm sure he's, you know, great and everything. I'm just saying, like, speaking in a hypothetical, like, is this the best use of your money if you're not a team with $40 million. I caught myself saying that. I was like, not 40 million. Yeah, 40 million. Like, if you're not a team with $40 million, does it make sense for you to bring in guys that are that highly recruited that cost that much money that may not play for a couple of years? Versus, you know, you talk about some of the nut teams that they, you know, they had with the offensive linemen and stuff, but they were bringing in guys that were, you know, 3 stars, you know, guys from inside the state, players that developed over the years. And, you know, I look at Kobe Branham. Kobe Branham wasn't a 5-star or 4-star. You know, he was a 3-star recruit who
perfect example
throwback. Ended up playing very early. Like, identify guys who, you know, maybe they need a little coaching or a little development, or you know, under recruited for some other reason, and develop those guys. And I think that you target, you know, and I'm not saying do that exclusively. You know, this guy could end up being a stud, like redshirt a year and come in and start. And if that's the case, yes, then that makes a lot of sense. But I just don't understand, like, especially this year with putting so much money in the transfer portal to bring in players who are ready to play. Yeah. I don't know if it makes a whole lot of sense.
Again, we don't know the price on him for sure.
Yeah, we don't.
I can't imagine it's cheap to go get a out-of-state 4-star.
It's tackle. $250,000 for a 4-star in a lot of cases. At least 150. At least.
It's pretty good money.
Yeah.
Hey, at 1 o'clock, Biddy, I want to kind of bury the lead here. In about 30 minutes, Kevin Grant from Arlington Martin High School. Kevin Grant being a cornerback, 5'11", 195. He's going to make his college decision. Not a ton of great competition there, Biddy. He's got a top five of Arkansas, Tulsa, UNLV, San Diego State, and there was another one, North Texas, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hey, we've got him as an 89 3-star, Biddy, number 44 corner in the country. But you see that final five and you're like, man, Arkansas better get him, you know. So I would guess they're still in good shape there. Man, I hope so. 5'11", 195 out of Arlington Martin area in about 30 minutes.
Okay. Well, we'll keep our eyes on that one. Danny, you got anything else to add? I know your throat's giving you trouble and stuff.
Paul's brother. Yeah, we got official visits this weekend.
Yeah.
We got 4 on the way. We got Alvin Mosley, a 4-star receiver. That'd be a good one, Biddy, but you're battling Ole Miss for him. Bryce Breeden, he's about 12 days out from making a decision now. He just put out a commitment date for next week sometime. I could be wrong on the exact days, but Bryce is a linebacker out of Bridge City, Texas. I would like Arkansas's chances going into the visit. Tylik Lewis. Look, man, the running back spot, they got JD out of Marion. They brought in Asa Barnes out of Martin, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And then they brought in Ahmad Sykes from Louisiana last week. Tylik Lewis being another running back. My point is, Biddy, I'll take the short trip here. I think Tylik may be in a position where he's watching to see what Sykes or Barnes does first. That's the way I'm reading it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Xavion Chones, C-H-O-N-E-S, is a JUCO offensive lineman up at Iowa Central Community College coming in this weekend. he told me earlier in the week anyway. So 6'5", 325 there. No ranking on him, but he's actually picked up a few offers. Auburn just jumped in there. That's notable. Kansas State already hosted him last week. So pretty notable competition for the JUCO lineman there. And maybe that's a case where if you don't get Shaw today, maybe you can make up for it with an older guy, maybe even a little bit cheaper, as you talked about there. I don't know that for a fact, Biddy. I'm just kind of reading the, you know, just trying to feel the vibes a little bit based on timing of these visits.
Danny West joining us on the Ozarks Go hotline. Bro. You can reach out to them at 479-684-4900 or go to ozarksgo.net/hog, H-A-W-G, if you're looking for fast, consistent, reliable internet service from a local company. And when you call them, you're going to talk to somebody local who knows the area. Not going to jack your rates up year one to year two either. ozarksgo.net/hog. Sorry, Danny, I think I cut you off there.
Oh, I was just telling you my voice is about to go.
Yep. Okay. Well, we appreciate you. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, man. Thank you for your time.
Go see a doctor, maybe.
Nah, ain't happening, bro.
See you, man. We're just going to find Danny one day, I guess.
I've told my wife, hey, come to the farm. I mean, you never know. Just check on me every now and then.
Just check on him. All right, everybody. Hey, you didn't send me this shirt, did you? I don't guess you would have sent me this. Somebody sent me this shirt. I have no idea. It just showed up in the mail. No, hair would only slow me down.
I like it. It's a good message. I wouldn't do that though.
It would slow me down. Like not having to comb, not having to go get haircuts.
My youngest daughter the other day asked me, she's like, Dad, do you use shampoo like in the shower? It's like straight body wash, baby.
I always tell like people with their rude 5-year-olds, like, why don't you have hair? Like they won't just let it go. Like, well, God made me so handsome and so fast.
Right.
He just didn't think it'd be fair.
That's right.
All right, Danny. Appreciate you, brother.
Yep.
All right, everybody. That's Danny West. Follow him at Danny West 24/7 on X. Read his content at Hog Sports, HAWGSports.com. You guys know how much I value longstanding relationships. Well, I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years, and I'm going to interrupt this ad read because Bo did something really special last weekend. He plays in the hardest golf course in Arkansas, the Blessings, plays in the member guest. And I wish I have his buddy's name who he played with here. But anyway, played probably the best 5 holes of golf in his life and hit out of the sand a 187-yard shot with a 5-iron and puts it right on the green on 18 and knocks it within like 8 to 10 feet. And they only had to have a 2-putt from there to win it and won that golf tournament. So proud of you, Bo, for doing that. A guy that I've known for 25 years. And when I needed car insurance, when I needed homeowners insurance, when I needed business insurance for Hog Sports, I called Biddle Armstrong. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like auto owners insurance works with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy? Call Biddle Armstrong direct rather than a 1-800 number. Auto owners insurance intended it that way so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give Biddle Armstrong a call at 479-443-0808 or visit BiddleArmstrongInsurance.com. Auto Owners Insurance owns an AM Best rating A+ superior. They trust people like Bo to work for you. Biddle Armstrong Insurance, coverage you need, people you trust. That was at the Blessings member guest tournament. So pretty sweet deal for Bo. Proud of him. I probably will never experience something like that. He told me, he said I could hit 5 hole in ones the rest of my life. And it would probably never compare to that moment. So pretty cool. All right. I want to talk about the future. We're going to get to your questions here in a second, but I want to talk about the future of the program. All right. Because I've mentioned so many times, like, you know, first of all, with the recruiting aspect of things, another thing that I've said, like, yeah, you want to go get players who are highly recruited in a perfect world. But Arkansas just doesn't have that access. And here's, you know, an out-of-state offensive lineman. You know, it'd be great to get that guy, I think, you know. And I don't mean that it wouldn't. I just want to make sure that Arkansas is using its funds correctly. And part of that, yes, you have to develop from within. And ideally, maybe you do that. But Arkansas is not Georgia. They don't have talent just all over them, just throwing, you know, knocking away talent with a stick, as they would say. Arkansas is not doing that. That radius isn't there for them. They don't produce talent inside the state at a high per capita either, like a state like Mississippi. But they've proven they can get players in the transfer portal from all over. And you can get younger players. So what does 2026 look like? Like, to me, 2026 looks like, let's get this program back on track, you know, win some games, compete in games, don't embarrass us, like, show us that things are headed in the right direction, okay? And, yeah, it'd be great to get to a bowl game. I'm not personally predicting that, but I would love to see, if this team could get to a bowl game, that is a win. Now, the future, to me, having the finances to hold on to some of these guys, because some of them, if they pan out, are going to cost more next year than they do this year. KJ Jackson and AJ Hill will both be back. One of these guys won't be back because of the transfer portal, most likely. One of those guys will probably end up transferring. That's just the nature of the position. That's been the nature of the position well before, you know, decades before there was ever a transfer portal. Quarterback was always a position where you see a transfer of the backup would eventually go somewhere else. All right. But redshirt sophomore, redshirt freshman, one of those guys likely be back next year. Running back, everybody except for Sutton Smith could be back. Braylon Russell could be back. Now, if Braylon Russell has a 1,000-yard season, which he is capable of doing, if he can stay healthy, maybe he's not back. But Braylon Russell, Cam Settles is a guy they like a lot. Jasper Parker, you know, those guys are, you know, Braylon's a junior. Settles and Parker are sophomores, you know. So you've got some continuity there. You also got Dent coming in, you know. Markelin Batten still with the team. Wide receiver, you're going to lose Chris Marshall. He's a senior. But you have Courtney Crushfield, redshirt sophomore, Antonio Jordan, redshirt freshman, C.J. Brown, redshirt junior. Ismail Cece's got another year left as a redshirt junior. I don't know if he falls under the 5 for 5 with a medical. I don't think he does. I think he just took that medical last year. You lose Jamari Hawkins. You lose Donovan Faupel. You know, some of those guys. DeQuane Prevost is another guy. Blair Irvin, another guy who are just freshmen out of high school. But you got some guys coming back there. So there you can see, like, at the skill positions, there's some continuity. You could have Jaden Platt come back also. He's just a junior. Ty Lockwood's a junior, you know. You lose Maddox Lassiter, who's been – it feels like Maddox Lassiter has been here a long time. No, Maddox Lassiter is a junior. Maddox Lassiter could come back. So some continuity at those spots. Now, you go to offensive line. You're going to lose Caden Kittler. You've got Cash Courtney, who's probably their most promising younger offensive lineman as a redshirt freshman. So Cash Courtney likely moves into that starting spot at center. You've got Malachi Breland, who's a redshirt junior, come back at left guard. Kobe Brannon, a redshirt sophomore, could come back at right guard. Kavion Broussard, a redshirt sophomore, come back at left tackle. Josiah Clemens is a really promising younger guy, 6'7", 340, redshirt freshman. Terrence Robertson, who they've moved to guard now with Davion Weatherspoon not getting granted his waiver. But Terrence Robertson's another guy that we talked about with a lot of potential, a lot of upside, redshirt sophomore. So you lose Kittler, you're going to lose Bryant Williams. You also got Adam Hawks coming back. Adam Hawks is a guy that they like, redshirt sophomore, the Oregon State transfer. So you look at the offense, there's a chance. Now, not all those guys, this is a, you know, perfect scenario, but these guys have eligibility left. Like, there's a chance that you could bring back a lot from offense. And hopefully KJ Jackson or AJ Hill, I think it'll be KJ Jackson starting at least. Hopefully one of those guys is a stud at quarterback. And if you got a stud at quarterback and you got this, then, like, I think that's something that, like, people could get behind. Like, okay, we saw a lot of progress this year. Things are heading the right direction. There's an opportunity to bring a lot of these guys back and have some continuity finally in Arkansas football. This is just offense so far. Switching over to defense, Quincy Rhodes will be gone, okay, your best defensive lineman. But Zadavian Sims, David Oakey will also be gone. But Zadavian Sims, Carlin Jones, Hunter Osborne, Trajan Odom, Reginald Vaughn, Caleb Bell, Danny Beal, those guys all have eligibility. Anthony Kennedy, like Antonio Sandal Bascom. I mean, these guys all have eligibility left. And these are all, I think, quality players, all guys that are going to provide some quality depth for them. So And that's just, you know, defensive, you know, down lineman types, like your big guys. But you've got some guys with, I mean, there's an opportunity. Like, but if like Carlin Jones has a big year as a redshirt sophomore, like he's going to cost you a lot more money because he was a four-star recruit out of high school. He's got all the physical traits and stuff, looks the part. And you pack on, hey, you know, this guy produced for you, like the price goes up. So you got to have more money if you're going to bring like all these guys back versus what they have right now, which probably, again, around $25 million to build this roster. Charlie Collins has eligibility left. He's just a junior. Steven Soles is a junior. Jamonte Waller is a redshirt sophomore. And Trent Sellers is a redshirt freshman. Those are your Jacks, all with eligibility left. Mike linebacker. Bradley Shaw is just a junior still. Wyatt Simmons, a redshirt sophomore. Jaquavion Smith is a junior. Those are your top three linebackers probably. You're going to lose, you know, Evans and Phoenix Jackson and Ben Bogle, some guys that you brought in with some experience that will provide some depth for you this year. But your main trio all has eligibility left to come back. Kamori House has eligibility left. They think Kamori House is an NFL guy. We'll see if he has an NFL type of year where you go. But 6'1", 202 junior at the star position. Carter Stoutmeyer will be gone. Tyler Scott's a guy with some, you know, potential. But there's a chance you could have Kamori House back. You're going to lose Christian Harrison at safety. So you got to figure some stuff out there. You're going to lose Kiari McGlory. You're going to lose Miguel Mitchell. Safety is probably the area, I know I've said this, but it concerns me a little bit more. So you're going to have some work to do. You know, does Ian Williams, you know, elevate and show that he's a player? Tay Lockett had a really good spring. You know, he's just a high school freshman. So maybe he takes that next step. But you might have some work to do at safety. Cornerback, you could get Lakai Rowland back, who's a junior. Shelton Lewis back, who's a redshirt junior. Braden Lee back, who's a redshirt sophomore. You could even potentially get Jaheim Johnson back, who's a redshirt junior. You could potentially get him. He was the number 9 ranked cornerback prospect in the country. DJ Hairston was one of the surprises of the spring, just a sophomore. Like, there's potential. Like, and that's what I've talked about a lot. Like, you don't have to just go get a senior out of the transfer portal. You can go get sophomores and juniors, guys that you can build some continuity with, redshirt freshmen even. You can go get those guys and build continuity that way because, as we've said before, transfers, there's several benefits to transfers. First of all, you know, they've already been in a college weight room for a year. They may have seen playing time already. And you know a little bit more about what you're getting in the guy versus a high school player. So there's that advantage of it. And they're more ready to play. And they also, you can get them from all over. When players are looking for their second school, they tend to be, not everyone, but most, it seems like, tend to be more willing to go farther away. And we saw that with this transfer portal cycle. There are guys from all over the place that have come in. Max Gilbert could come back at kicker. And you got a couple options at punter. Gavin Rush probably start this year. The guy that they brought in, I believe, tore his ACL. Adam Johnson back at snapper. So there's potential for 2027, isn't there? Doesn't look all bad. If you use the promo code BIDDY250, capital B, lowercase IDDY 250, and put $25 down on your first bet at Bet Saracen, you can get $250 back in bonus bucks when you sign up. So pretty sweet deal, $250 to sign up there. Yeah, rules apply. So be sure to check out all the rules and disclaimers and whatnot. But Bet Saracen is Arkansas's number one sports betting app, and really they're the only local guys left anymore. So use the Arkansas company.
Sounds like those big out-of-state sports betting apps finally found Arkansas.
So now Bet Saracen is the only true local sports app and still Arkansas's fan fave.
Bet Saracen was made by Arkansans for Arkansans.
Just look at Fayetteville, where Saracen Casino, they're partnered with Hogs football, basketball, and baseball.
And Bet Saracen is also the official sports app for the ASU Red Wolves, UA Little Rock Trojans, and many others.
So bet with Arkansans. Bet Saracen.
A lot of things you can bet on. NCAA postseason, Oklahoma, North Carolina, in the Men's College World Series. Ton of World Cup stuff going on right now. It's cool to see all the World Cup stuff and American stadiums just all over the place. So that's been pretty fun. Okay, let's see if we got any questions, comments, so on, so forth. All right. Chad Razorback says, does the football program have money and is choosing not to spend it on high school recruits, or is there a lack of money for high school recruits? I think we pretty much covered all that, so no need to rehash all that. I just, you know, they brought in 40-something, just over 40 transfers last year, okay? Moving forward, that number needs to go down. It doesn't need to be just a complete overhaul where you're bringing in 25 high school recruits, which is something that Ryan Silverfield wants to do, and bringing in 40 transfers. 65 new players every year is not the answer, but 45 might be. Maybe that's a better answer. If you could split it some kind of way, 20-something high school, 20-something transfer portal, maybe even get that number down a little bit. So anyway. I just think that you spent so much more. Transfer portal players are going to cost more, you know, to bring into your program, probably. So find out a way to balance that out, and then maybe you can go after more high-profile high school recruits also. Willie B. Hardigan, what would you say you shoot at Shinnecock today? I heard they don't allow iron covers, so you have to take those out of the bag. I don't have iron covers. How dare you? What would I shoot at Shinnecock? 100-something? I don't know. They expect it to be, it's windy. They expect it to be like even to -2 for the winter, I think are what they're saying. So, I don't know, 100-something, probably something awful. Maybe a broken pitching wedge. What do you think you would shoot, Willie? I'm curious to know what people think they would shoot at Shinnecock right now. Hamslam1 says, why are Hunter Yurecek and the Board of Trustees unable to engage the big money folks in Northwest Arkansas when it comes to NIL stadium naming rights or anything else? And do you think the Tyson money for basketball goes away when Cal retires? I think it's possible. I mean, I think we're in a bubble with Calipari. First of all, you're not – whoever comes in next probably isn't going to be as successful. Maybe you strike lightning twice, but it seems like most of the time that just doesn't really happen. When you look at, you know, when Dean Smith left North Carolina, you know, obviously there was a period where North Carolina wasn't that, and they, you know, had to have a coaching change, obviously, and they got things back on track without doubt. But like, now North Carolina has dipped again and has had to have a coaching change. Duke has stayed pretty steady, but they haven't been like winning national championships like they were. And of course it's early in guys' career and everything. Indiana hasn't been what it was since Bob Knight. I mean, they made the national championship game 1 year, but overall they have not been what they were at peak Bob Knight years. Arkansas dipped dramatically after Nolan Richardson. So, yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, there's no question that Tyson and Cal have a relationship. So who knows what happens then? But to answer your question, why are Hunter Yurecek and the Board of Trustees unable to engage big money folks in Northwest Arkansas? I think that has happened. Now, it's been delayed, but that seems to be happening now for baseball. And this is baseball money is not coming from revenue sharing. It is coming from NIL, like outside the program. So that appears to be happening for baseball. Basketball, it's obviously there, without question. The basketball roster, I mean, is probably $15 to $18 million for this basketball team. Football is probably around $25 million. That next year, unless the Save College Sports Act has some kind of impact, that next year needs to get up to maybe $10 million more. It could jump up that big. It could jump up to $35 million to be like middle of the pack. It's crazy. Stadium naming rights, from what I was told, That should be coming out sometime this month that they have that deal struck. I made a post, I referenced SpaceX earlier in the show. I made a post about SpaceX, you know, because we'll talk, you know, we'll talk food on the Razor's Edge VIP forum. We'll talk food. We'll talk movies, music, stocks, crypto, travel, all that kind of stuff, in addition to the main topic, which is sports, and even more on top of that, Razorback sports. So we'll talk about all that. But I put SpaceX up there, and there were people that were like, I thought that was going to be the name of the stadium. And I was like, man, that would be cool. SpaceX Razorback Stadium. That would be a great name. But no, that's I'm at least not aware that it is going to be SpaceX Stadium. But the deal is supposed to be done probably around $5 million a year. We also have, you know, the Tyson patches on the jerseys. You're going to see that now. And that may be like foreign to some people, but like pro leagues and stuff. Heck, soccer teams in Europe, like, they don't even have the team name on there. They just have the sponsor name. Like, you just know them by their colors. Of course, they have a million different colors also. But it does seem like it's been late. And a lot of people, I think, weren't willing to push for, you know, and support Sam Pittman. But this offseason, the push was, in my opinion, recognized. And there is more funds. Do they need more? Of course. It's a bottomless pit. They're always going to need more. Do you have to fight donor fatigue? Yes. Are there people that have fallen off? Yes. Are there people that have come back on? Yes. I think they're in a better spot than they ever have been right now, in terms of football, NIL, and baseball now. Baseball, I think, dipped last year. I think that was an issue. And I think they appears to have gotten back on track. So that's definitely positive, because we deserve to have good baseball at Arkansas. Fans want it. It loses $3.5 million a year, but the fans want baseball. And Arkansas has a chance to be good at it, and they are. Took a little bit of a dip this year. Jay Wilson, 1979, says, please provide an update on stadium naming rights. Supposed to be announced last month that we should hear something this month, and we should. What seems to be the holdup? I thought it was supposed to be already announced. Thank you. I was just told expect an announcement in June. So another thing we should be hearing pretty soon is – basketball, like home away, all that kind of stuff should be coming up for SEC play anyway. Let's see what we got on the comments over here. Pronounce Oberg. What did I say? Aberg? Yeah, I think I did. I mean, it looks like Aberg, but you're right, Oberg. And I do watch golf. I should know that. I will be turning on the U.S. Open as soon as this is over. What would you rate the baseball Hogs on recruiting so far? I mean, they're number one in the SEC, I think number two nationally, so pretty strong. As far as like high school recruiting or portal or all the above, I would say pretty strong so far. It's been pleasing to see. And I think there's a lot of concern because you don't – like, I knew what they were getting in revenue sharing. I think maybe some others did too. But – didn't know what the NIL numbers were. And it feels like that's been good this year. Dave Van Horn deserves the support to build a championship roster that can win a national championship. The guy deserves a national championship. And it's disappointing that he doesn't have one so far, but hope to get there. I'm not going to try to read that name, but if you could have one star, an All-American, in a Roberts defense, what position would he be? One star. A star player. Probably a Mike linebacker. I wouldn't hate an edge rusher who was just a stud, but a middle linebacker kind of controls a lot. I can't remember the last just like – I mean, I can. It was Drew – I mean, they've had some stuff. They've had some good linebackers. What's the dude's name from Alabama who was here just a year? Drew? I can't remember his name. Maybe somebody can remember. That's how you get people to comment. Like, you say stuff that's incorrect, like Aberg. And I got this guy to comment in my YouTube to boost the algorithm. Sneaky. You mess up your math, get people to comment, correct you in the comments. That's right. Drew Sanders. Appreciate you. See, I got FD Eldred to comment on my YouTube channel. Very smart. Ken Watkins says, I got you. I actually couldn't remember his name, to be honest. But, commenting on Danny's buck on the wall. Danny's my hero. You know, Danny's a good old boy. All right, everybody. I think we got to everything. I appreciate everybody for hopping on today and talking roster building, recruiting, the future of Razorback sports. All that stuff's been fun. Hopefully, we'll hear something on stadium rights pretty soon. And, again, congratulations to my friend Bo Biddle at Biddle Armstrong for his outstanding five holes of golf. And the way they did it is, like, all the flights finish, and then they put them all together and have, like, you get knocked out and stuff for holes. And they had, you know, five holes. They end up on the 18th. And he's telling me the whole story. Like, the five holes leading up to it were just, like, one outstanding shot after another. And his partner played really well, too, especially, like, getting them to that point. So, congrats to them. One more comment. Ciao. Ciao. Tschüss. Arrivederci, auf Wiedersehen, sayonara, aloha, goodbye. All right, everybody, this has been Trey Biddy with HogSports.com. We'll catch you next time.